Holmes & Hops is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com. Hello, everyone. Lisa Resnick here, Holmes & Hops podcast studio with Ellie Platt.
Hi. Hi, friend. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. I don't know if you all know this, but Ellie is not only my friend and a phenomenal person in the real estate industry as an insurer, if you will, but she's also the sponsor of Holmes & Hops.
Well, I think it's interesting, though, that I feel like I think our connection was more of a business connection, and then we've become friends. So I think that's kind of fun when that happens, when you meet somebody out, you know, in the community, in a business world, and you really connect with them. And I'm like, that girl, I actually remember this. I think I've told you this story.
You may have.
So the first time, so we have a great, our agency has a great relationship with Bergen Real Estate. And I remember going to my first Bergen agent meeting. And, you know, everyone went around and talked and Lisa spoke. I didn't know her, and I looked at her, and I'm like, that girl's going to be my friend. I'm like, I like this girl.
I'm just saying that Andy and I started off as business.
Uh-oh.
So you never know where this may go.
That's great. But I do think it's fun when that happens. Like, it's always like a nice, you know, and I have great business relationships with people, but it is nice when you find somebody that's like-minded and you connect and you have so much in common. So
I think that that fits both of our personalities. Like, because I do think that we look at our friendships and we like strong people. It doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman, but strong, like-minded people that have a positive energy about them.
Yes, yes.
And that are creative, looking to continuously grow. Like, there is no ceiling. There's always, you know, maybe it was Dr. Seuss that really sunk into our minds, but the places you will go, there is no stopping us. And that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I really believe, I think I say this all the time, but I really believe, I need to find out whose quote this is, but that we are truly the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's so true, that the people you surround yourself with, they raise your bar, you know, they raise your level, they, you know, they inspire you, you know, to do something better and not just be complacent.
I completely agree. And I always say this, and it's so true, when we were growing up and our parents said, we are who we hang out with. But you are who you hang out with.
Birds of a feather flock together.
There you go. So, I mean, I do. I think that I like to think that I am only as good as the people around me. And if people think that I'm doing something extraordinary, that's because everybody close to me is doing something extraordinary.
I agree. And I could see that. I think the opposite is true, is if you're unhappy, if you feel like you're not, you know, doing what you want to be doing, look at your circle. Really look at who is around you. And not that they're bad people.
Exactly.
It's not that. It's just that some people aren't where you are or where you want to go.
Exactly.
You know? And if those people aren't in your circle, this is something in my life, seek them out. Like, just go find them.
Find them. They will. You will. As long as you put out that energy, you will attract them. And a part of me also thinks that I veer towards the other first, the Debbie Downers, if you will, of the world, not to categorize, is that I think that, unfortunately, I also have a short tolerance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not into the drama. I'm not into it. Like, because there's just so much going on. And if so much time is spent in the black hole, if you will, that we can all fall into, then you're just pulling so much more energy out. And it goes down to what they also say is that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile.
Yeah, it's true. I think
this is like, I feel like
we just jump right in.
I know. It's like,
At one point, I'm like, is this like, what is it, Deep Thoughts by Ellie and Lisa?
We jumped right in. I do think I have a shorter tolerance. I think that's a lesson that's taken me many years to learn.
Yes.
I think I should have been less tolerant in my life, you know, over the years. Yeah. But I do think I'm in a place now where I'm right where you're at now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I agree too. Mm-hmm. Like, there was probably a time in my life that I surrounded myself by people that unfortunately did not help lift me up. Mm-hmm. But right. Mm-hmm. But you learn from that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
And then you know who to spend your time with. Quality time. QT, right?
We dove in deep right away.
Yeah, we did. So, and we are drinking, of course, some beer. Mm-hmm. I am about to crack open. And I know I've been drinking quite a bit of this, but I do love it. It's the Overcast of Noble Creature. And what
I
are you drinking?
Noble Creature. I have Birdfish Scripted. They're double IPA. And it is great. I believe that this is actually one of the beers that we had at OWOW Science of Brewing event.
I think it is one of those beers. Yeah. And it is one of their popular beers that they do can often. Mm-hmm. But also want to make a quick plug because Modern Methods, who has been not closed, I mean, they've still been providing beer and even delivering beer, which was the coolest thing that I think. It's definitely one of the top 20 things that's cool that's happened in my life because I've never had anybody deliver beer to my door, and that was pretty awesome. But they've just opened up the Alley.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
And you can go online to Modern Methods on Facebook, and you will see some photos. I can't wait until I actually have the opportunity to get out to Warren over in Dave Grohl Alley and check it out because the lighting, everything is just
phenomenal.
Well,
it's such
phenomenal.
A fun space. I mean,
I mean, they have, like, every brewery has their own theme. But they've incorporated the rock theme into the brewery. So you have Dave Grohl photos on the inside. It's just the alleyway itself is just a nice little, what's the word I'm looking for? Not monument, for goodness sakes, but like shout out to Dave Grohl.
Yeah, testament to the era. Yeah.
Yes. And now the lighting even matches it. So yesterday when I saw the photos, instead of being sad that it gets darker earlier, I was happier that it gets darker earlier because I was like, oh my gosh, we could head there. It'd be like 6 o'clock and dark and bam.
Yeah.
You have your lights up and running. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
All right. So really, let's get down to serious business now, if you didn't think it was serious before. But so Ellie, I had definitely a lot that has occurred in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you are, and I've said this to you before, you are a true success story for our area.
Thanks.
That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Feel the weight of the world on you right now? Don't screw this
up. Yeah, right.
But you are. You're a woman entrepreneur. You're a business owner and a community advocate. So this is going to be a pretty open-ended question, and really I could probably just sit back and be quiet from here, but but what was the path that led you to where you are right now?
Yeah, so I own an insurance agency.
Talk about from birth, Ellie.
Right,
come on.
Wait, I'm going to start there, and I would say most little girls, when they're growing up, don't say, I want to be an insurance agent when I grow up. And so it's been an interesting path to get here. I love what I do, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. But so I'm from the Youngstown area, you know, born and raised here. And my family, so my father is was a local pastor. Actually, my father started a church when I was 5 years old. Inside Wilson High School on the south side of Youngstown. That's actually where it started. And so my father is an amazing man. He actually just passed away in April. And he was an entrepreneur, had a cleaning business. He cleaned a lot of the buildings downtown. And when I was 5 years old, he went through quite a few changes in his life and really decided that he wanted to start a church, took out an ad in a paper in the Vindicator and rented space in the auditorium at Wilson High School and started a church.
Wow.
So I was five. huge, you know, part of my upbringing and my childhood, big theme of my life was that church. Shortly after that, they bought land on South Avenue, and that's where the church is today. But two, I think, really big things that my dad and both my parents instilled in me was, one was a love for Youngstown.
Yep.
Love for this area, everything Youngstown. I mean, I grew up going to every YSU football game, YSU basketball games, just the food, everything in this area, you know, my parents really passed that on to me. But the second thing I think my parents really gave me, and it came through church, was just the importance of community and serving. Yeah. And serving others, and really something, realizing that our life is bigger than our own, and that there's, you know, really serving something bigger than ourselves. So I think I grew up with that theme of understanding community. And so it really has painted a lot of my life and the choices that I've made, even my business today. So out of college, my first job was in the nonprofit world.
Yeah.
So I went away to school. Really small. I played softball in college and went away to a small school in southwestern Ohio called Cedarville.
Okay.
And played softball there, and then ended up coming back. Actually, when I was in high school, there, when I did the speech for my softball team, my senior, I was like the senior softball banquet. And so I gave a speech, and there was a man there by the name of Marty Gaudios. I actually think about him often, who was very involved in the Youngstown community, just a leader in the area. And he came up to me and said, "When you graduate from college, I want you to come and find me, and I'm going to give you a job." And so I went away to Cedarville. And when I graduated, I literally showed up at his office and I said, "I want a job."
That is impressive. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm assuming it still took you 4 years to graduate from college.
It took me four. So it actually took me three, which is odd. That's a whole other story.
Yeah. But yeah. Complete opposite.
I've been
me.
Somewhat of an overachiever. Yeah. So it was very quick. But I went to his office and he gave me a job. I didn't even know at the time. I knew I wanted to be involved in community service and serve the community. I had my degree was in communications, like more business. And so I knew that's what I wanted to do, but I didn't realize this nonprofit world existed. I didn't even know it existed. And there was so much going on at Youngstown at the time. I knew more of the religious, you know, the church world. And I didn't know so many amazing social service organizations, people that were serving the Youngstown community. And so that was my first job out of school. I mean, he gave me a job as a grant writer. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing.
Grant writing is not easy.
It's not easy. And so I was a fundraiser, did fundraising for, it was an organization that's now known today as Meridian Healthcare.
Yep.
And so they did drug and alcohol treatment, mental health treatment in the Youngstown area. And so I did no idea what I was doing. And so the Youngstown Library has a grant center. And so I used to go there all day long, and I would read books on grants, and that's how I learned. And I just jumped in and learned how to do it. And so I really fell in love with the nonprofit world and built so many amazing relationships with some of the local community organizations. I mean, there's really great work that's happening in Youngstown, and never thought I would leave. So I was there 10 years, never thought I would leave, and had the opportunity to, I think at the time I was really growing and learning, always thought I might stay at Meridian, and but I just didn't have a desire to do something for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I had an opportunity to buy an insurance agency.
Which, talk about which going
is
from.
So bizarre. Yeah. And
how did the opportunity come about?
So I had been at Meridian for 10 years, and my job was really, it's not that different, you know, insurance and what I was doing. It's building relationships, it's people. It's building a network. And so at the time, the company, the carrier that I first started to represent was Nationwide Insurance. They were looking to bring on new agents. They were looking to, they bought out a bunch of agents in Ohio and were looking to bring on new agents to grow these businesses. And they weren't looking for people with insurance backgrounds. They were looking for people who had were connected in the community, had relationships. And so someone had given them my name and they had reached out to me. And I don't know if it was timing, whatever. I met this representative from Columbus from Nationwide Insurance at Peaberry's in Campfield and sat down with her. And in 10 minutes, I got this own my own business bug. You know, she started talking to me about, you know, owning my own business and insurance. And I'm like, I'm doing this. And so I don't, you know, even at the time I look back, like, what was I thinking? Because I had such a great job. I loved what I was doing and had amazing mentors and leaders in my life. And so I got my insurance license, quit my job, and
voila.
That's what happened. This is where I am. I guess that was a long a long answer to that question.
How old were you when that happened?
So like 32. Yeah.
You know what what I think is amazing about all the stories that we hear about how people started off in the business that they're in now is that that's not what they originally started off in. That it's like all of a sudden something clicked or something diverted them in a different direction that, or they just wanted to be a planner and diversify their own personal portfolio of their abilities and what they can do. But I just love the fact that a lot of people, like, you graduate from college, you graduate with a communications degree. I graduated with a political science degree. But it's, there's different avenues that you could always take in life and never feel like you should get stuck in any position. And I know you loved where you were, but that doesn't mean you can't love or find out, or because you said you had the bug. You caught the bug of owning your own business and you went for it.
And you're so, and you, but we get so stuck in, like, this is our path. And, you know, you, people change, you, you know, your passions grow and develop. And especially, you know, I started at Meridian, I was 21 years old, you know, I was a baby. And so you don't even really know yourself. I grew up there. And, you know, and it's funny, my son, well, Jake and I, we a couple nights ago bought The Game of Life. And we, I had the old version. Apparently there's, well, there is a new version.
The old version is way better because we have the new version now.
There's
too.
There's some things about the new version that I like. And here's what I like. This is where I'm going with this, is that in normal, so the old version in the beginning, you basically, like, you're, you pick your profession, like you're a doctor, you're, you know, you, and, and
oh, I know where
this
you're going
one,
with this.
Like midway, like you're able to decide, like, should I change careers? Like, should I go to night school? Like, should I? And it, so I kind of, I think that's real.
And it's true because there is a risk because you
there's
could,
a risk.
You could end up picking an occupation where you're not making as much money as you did before. But there it is. It's presented to you in life and here's your opportunity to take it. So you're right. That is pretty cool.
But I think it's following your passions and it it leads you where you're supposed to go. Like, and that's kind of how I've,
Yeah, what do they say? One thing in life that's constant, it's constant change. And I do think that you should always be open and accepting of the change. And if you don't like it, change it. So now we're going to get into the fun of the insurance world that Ellie has now found herself.
So I've been in it for 10 years. So this next year will be my 10th year.
But this year is not, she just doesn't own.
So I was a captive. So I started with Nationwide Insurance. So it was what the industry calls a captive agent. So I only represented Nationwide Insurance.
And now she can dive into the pool of all the insurers to find out which insurance is best for you, which is pretty cool. And it and what's cool about it is I'm sure you've expanded your knowledge base of all these different insurance companies, which is, I don't know about you, but I always love learning new things. And, and I'm sure there's a magnitude of various insurance companies and what they offer and lessons learned from each of them that, like, we know certain names like Nationwide.
Or State Farm, Allstate.
Obviously, I don't know that many, but
those are the, the big names. But there's a lot of others out there that don't have the marketing
budgets.
And that's it. That's our, that's the goal. There's a lot out there that don't, you know, quite have the marketing budgets that are just as good, you know.
So Don't be afraid of a name that you haven't heard, because yes. that doesn't mean that they don't have the ability mm-hmm. to do a good job. So yes. always keep that in mind in life in general. You do work in a lot of different spectrums within mm-hmm. insurance. So there's commercial, there's residential, farm, right?
Farm is a big one for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So typically I don't want to get too much in the weeds of the jargon and everything of the yeah. insurance industry. Mm-hmm. But typically when somebody is in the process of going to purchase any of those mm-hmm. commercial, residential, or farm, when do they engage mm-hmm.
that's
you?
That's a good question. I say right away. I think our goal as an agency, you can go online and get a quote on your home and auto insurance. Yep. You can do that. That's not the space that we work in at Platt Insurance. So our goal is we want to be your trusted advisor. So we want to be there from the beginning. So great example, on the business insurance side, if you're a business, I've had several of these recently. If you're considering a purchase, considering a purchase of a building,
yep.
bring us in right away. We'll help. We'll look at the building with you. We'll help, identify risks, what to look for.
If it happens to be in a flood zone.
If it happens to be in a flood zone.
Maybe that did happen.
We'll tell you, if that's a possibility. I think sometimes people think insurance is simpler than it is. Somebody will call us and say, give us a quote. Give us a quote on that. That's not really how we do things. We really need to understand, particularly on the business side, understand your business, understand how you operate, understand the risk. Because at the end of the day, insurance is about sharing risk, mitigating risk. And so that's, the business that we're in. And so we want to be part of that with you. Especially on the business side, if you're a new business, or if you're getting into something new, purchasing something new, you need an advocate. You need somebody to represent you, and that, that's our role. So the earlier you bring us in, so when you're bringing in your real estate agent, your contractors, you bring us in, we'll be part of that team.
I was about to say, I definitely think that you are a key part of the mm-hmm. team at the beginning
yes.
stages mm-hmm. because you are necessary
yes.
in the process, uh-huh. whether you're paying cash or you have a loan
right.
Or grant, whatever yeah. you have, mm-hmm. it is vitally important to be able to engage
right.
Platt Insurance, mm-hmm. for example, not to plug it again, but yeah. because you do. And you do go out to the property, you assess the property.
Yeah, we'll get in there.
And you have the ability, because you are local and mm-hmm. a great connection to be able to have, if there is something there to correct it prior mm-hmm. to actually getting the insurance. So yeah. then you could reduce
right.
the risk, mm-hmm. which is pretty
absolutely.
Neat.
And then on the home and auto side, just like I said, you could go online, but I think our goal is to build a relationship with somebody. We want to represent you. Insurance, it's not as simple as people think, and you want a go-to person. And so we want to be that. We want all your insurance. We don't want you yep. to call and quote the one thing. If you ask us to quote one thing, we might, but we want to understand the whole risk and have a relationship with you.
And you do. You make sure to say, hey, your roof was only partially
yeah.
covered
yeah.
while this mm-hmm. with this insurer, you right. can get 100% coverage. Right. All those different things that you don't think about until mm-hmm. actually something does happen.
Yeah.
You've already covered it,
mm-hmm.
which is nice.
Yeah. And it's tough. You don't want to knock other agencies or agents, but I actually just had a meeting right before here with another agent. And we were talking about, so as an independent agent now, we're representing you. We mm-hmm. can not just the insurance carrier. And so we have multiple options. And so I was talking with this agent, and he was saying he had a conversation with another agent who said, how do you choose which company to go with? Who do you advise your clients to go with? And this agent said, well, whoever the highest commission is. And which is
that's interesting.
Gut-wrenching to me, because that's not, I can understand the drive for that as a business, but I think finding somebody locally, in this area that really cares about this community, that's not our drive. Our driving force is protecting you
yes.
and really protecting our community. And, it's important that you find an agent that you trust.
I agree completely mm-hmm. with that. And You also insure breweries and wineries, we do. Too.
Yeah. Don't you? Yes, we do. That's what makes it hard. You have a question at the end. You were telling me about some of the questions at the end about favorite brewery, and I was like, shit.
That's
like,
right.
I don't think I can answer that.
And that is everybody's response when they come, but you know what? You still have to answer it.
I might have to flip a coin. But yeah, but we do. We insure breweries and wineries. We've really, on our business side, really tried to refine certain niches and bring on carriers that specialize. So that is an area that we do well.
That is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And it fits along with the whole homes and hops, doesn't mm-hmm. it? As we drink our hops in my home. So you do work with a lot of local businesses. You're just talking about a few of them. And we did touch base on your clientele and mm-hmm. how much you cover various different sectors mm-hmm. In residential and the economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say is your favorite part about working with all the different fields that you do?
I mean, just working with, especially in the Youngstown area, entrepreneurs, small business owners. I mean, there is so much passion and grit. And, you know, we've all come, you know, we're working, let's be honest, like we're pushing a boulder uphill. Like we really are. Like every business in this area is.
Yes.
And, you know, matter how much we can look around and really tout their success, and there's so many wonderful things happening in Youngstown. But when you do look at other areas, my family lives in Dallas. I have close, you know, connections in Nashville. Yes. And it's, you know, you see what's happening there where it is a little easier. And so
they have a bit more tangible factors.
Yeah,
while we have mm-hmm. we have more intangible, which is much mm-hmm. more difficult to measure.
It is.
But in at least in my mind, mm-hmm. it's strong and it is it's strong. Expansive.
Agreed. I agree 100%. And so I think being around that and having relationships with so many different businesses locally, to know, just like you're doing on this podcast, is hearing people's stories and knowing how they started and where they came from. They're all, you know, just like us, you know, we've all, and I think that's what inspires me, is to hear people's stories, to be around them, to help and to be part of their team to build their business, you know, and to help them get where they're going, you know. And sometimes it means we do insurance, and sometimes it means it doesn't work, you know, but for us to be part of their story and to be part of helping improve what they're doing, like that's why we do what we do.
It's interesting because so I did have a degree in political science, went into the campaign world, and was all about changing the world mm-hmm. One candidate at a time or one issue at a time. And then this was before I went into commercial real estate, and this is in the DC area. And I did get hired on by a phenomenal company, Low Enterprises. I mean, truly phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And were all about their employees, and they were all about their clients. It was just a great environment to work in. And I learned very quickly the impact that you have on the commercial end of the world as well. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, but in a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. It's like we have this three-dimensional box that we're all looking at in different ways, but our end result is still the center. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. Yeah. I felt like you were still involved. You were still changing and helping to improve a community mm-hmm. and in a whole new world. And I loved it.
Yeah.
So right. I decided to stay.
So. Yeah, that's, you know, that's all. And I think a lot of people in business or like they'll say, I've had people challenge me on this. Like, that's fluff. Like you just, you know, make the right business decision. I disagree. I think that when you do the right thing and you focus on adding value and bringing things to other people's lives, that that has served me well. It has served me well in my business and in my life.
I agree. It has me as well. Mm-hmm. Definitely has. Actually, Jeff Risner, who was also on here recently, also has the same mm-hmm. mentality and viewpoint. And I think that is what's helped him out in all the successes that he has mm-hmm. as well, is that he has that same mindset. Mm-hmm. And both you and him and a lot of the other people that are on here are not only entrepreneurs, but you guys are also very actively involved in the community. Mm-hmm. Now, I did not know the whole nonprofit thing until...
You didn't know that was my background.
No, I didn't. This is all new to me. That's really why I have Ellie on here, is so I can learn a lot more about her.
I didn't realize you didn't know that.
No, yeah. I didn't. And so with that being said, that also explains so much of like how you were like not willing to let that portion go along with this whole new venture that you had going on.
No, my heart is in Youngstown, serving Youngstown, building up Youngstown, and in that nonprofit space. You know, that's where it's always been. And it's been interesting to just bridge it over into the insurance world. Similar skills, similar, you know, relationships. But my why hasn't changed. You know, it's kind of, I'm in insurance now, but it's still the same why, you know? So, I am involved in quite a bit. Actually, it's interesting. So I'm very involved on the OWOW board, which is definitely a passion for me, the OWOW Children's Museum in downtown Youngstown. And I'm actually getting ready to end my term on the board there. So I'm ending my 6th year on the board. So I'm going to have to take some time off. And, but my connection there is interesting because Suzanne Barbati, who is the executive director of OWOW, was when I was 21 years old at the Youngstown Library learning how to write grants. I said, okay, so I'm at the library, I'm learning how to write grants. I looked around the Youngstown community and I was like, who can help me with this? And I looked at the people in the nonprofit world that were leaders, that were, you know, wrote grants, that were fundraisers. And so there was a woman by the name of Sarah Lown, who's at the Port Authority, who's an amazing woman. Yep. And then Suzanne Barbati, also at the time was, you know, fundraising and writing grants and working with nonprofits. And so when I got to a place in my business where I was like, okay, I'm ready. My heart's with nonprofits. Like, I want to serve on the board. I really want to do something. And so I saw Suzanne and I wrote her an email and I was like, you have been my inspiration, you know, all this time. And those were women back then that I actually had reached out to and said, will you mentor me? You know, I don't know what I'm doing.
You are an overachiever. Yeah. 100%.
I'm a big believer. You know, though, it's interesting.
I'm not going to lie. When I was 21, I was probably like trying to recover from a hangover, or I was like,
I was married.
Or in my 5th year of college, trying to cram for my paper the next day.
I was a bit. I got married then, too. Like,
oh, yeah. I definitely was not mature enough to get married at the age of 21.
I mean, neither was I, but
sometimes, like, question my maturity now.
I mean, me too. But yeah, no, like, no, I reached out. So Suzanne Barbati and I go back to me being 21 years old, and it's an honor for me to serve on her board at OWOW because she's somebody who poured into my life back then.
She's a phenomenal woman.
Oh yeah.
And she too has such a love for this area and such a love for Mill Creek Park. I mean, she's intelligent, she is strong, and she just keeps going.
Yeah. She does. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and OWOW is a great success story. I mean, they've done amazing work.
Mr. Ralph is
the
bomb.
He is. And it's a beautiful space, and they're going to be renovating.
Yes.
It's going to transform downtown, like, even more, you know, so.
So for those listeners out there that don't know this, but OWOW is expanding their footprint within the building that they're in.
Yeah.
And it is going to be a bit more like those other children's museums that you will find yourself traveling to in Cleveland and Pittsburgh. But now you can just head on downtown Youngstown to be able to get to it.
Right.
So there's going to be 2 levels, correct? Well, 3 levels if you're including the downstairs area, which is just so much fun. I know that they are also thinking, at least at one point during the whole phase project of the new museum, they were going to change the front. Mm-hmm. So then you have the bus drop off and everything that's right off.
Yeah, that's in the work, or that's part of the plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who knows with COVID, how everything is being impacted, of course.
Right.
But we do know that that was part of the scope of the work. So it would completely transform WIC in a positive way and to utilize all that space that's kind of wasted right now.
Right.
So it's kind of neat. So lots of fun changes happening downtown Youngstown. So what other because you've also done other things in the nonprofit and business world.
Yeah.
Combining everyone together.
Yeah. So, gosh, I've done a lot, but a lot of it just comes from my interests and passions. I'm involved in a group. Yeah, we had an office in downtown Youngstown, so mm-hmm. we worked on creating a downtown Youngstown partnership, so a partnership of downtown businesses, and really helping just really attract and retain the businesses in the downtown area. And it's tough right now with COVID. Gosh, it's like being hit really hard downtown.
It is.
But I think creating a collective voice and connecting those businesses together to continue to build the downtown area, to create, you know, to really improve the space down there. And it could be simple projects. I mean, one project we did was, you know, if you go in downtown Youngstown, the cigarette butts, you know, in different places.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So we actually
not
Phil,
the cigarette butts
not
everywhere.
The cigarette butts. Yeah. But just, and so Phil Kidd, who I believe has been on this podcast, who is amazing advocate and just human being in general.
Also an overachiever.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Phil and I worked on a project where we were able to get just cigarette butt dispensers. And mm-hmm. we worked with a company that actually takes them and recycles them and turns them into pallets, like wood pallets. And so similar to a project in Pittsburgh. And so if you look downtown, you'll see these like little gray on the light posts. And
so don't put your butts out on the ground.
Yeah. Come just on. Throw them in there.
That's right.
Yeah. Just I think small. And I've learned this from Phil, but just I think this in general in Youngstown is just looking for small projects, small wins, just small achievable things that we can do that will make a difference that eventually add up to something bigger.
That is 100% true. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that you work to get all the businesses together because one voice cannot be heard as mm-hmm. when you hear many, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys are all on the same page and you're all marketing the same thing, your messaging is all the same, then they will come.
Yes.
And I do think that once this pandemic chills out a little bit, mm-hmm. if you will, and probably some of the construction is finalized downtown, because I do think that Youngstown has a lot of road work,
we're close.
Which I know is super annoying.
Yeah.
However, like Derek McDowell has stated that if you see that work being done on the street, that mm-hmm. means things are happening.
Yes.
So as annoying as it is, just know that's still progress.
Yeah. Yeah. I golfed on Monday, and I remember every time I hit the ball, I was like, forward movement, forward progress. It might have trickled along like 10 feet.
But. So Ellie's going to be golfing with me Saturday, and she'd be like, obviously that philosophy does not work with Lisa.
Forward movement.
She'll be like, just pick up the ball, Lisa, and throw it.
But it can be frustrating. Actually, a super inspiring person for me is a man by the name of Hunter Morrison. Hunter was actually he's in Youngstown now, involved in Youngstown Rotary. He was instrumental in the development and renaissance of downtown Cleveland. And I've met with him many times, and he talks about it a lot, where they would section off small areas of Cleveland. So you mm-hmm. you think Ohio City, think Playhouse Square. And so they take small segments and then they build that area, and then they move out from there.
No, that's 100%.
And so it's just small incremental change that takes patience. But when all added together, I remember actually my boss at Meridian Healthcare, who's an amazing person, Larry Moliterno, he's a trustee in Borman Township, incredible influence on my life and mentor. But Larry would talk about, and I'm probably going to butcher the story, but he talks about in Playhouse Square there, I think was the Hannah Theater, like one of the theaters in Playhouse Square.
Okay.
And so at the time, George Voinovich was the mayor of Cleveland. And so what they did was they focused on celebrating small successes. And so I think one of his phrases was, do the doable, celebrate your successes. And so they remodeled a dressing room in the Hannah Theater. It was just a dressing room in the Hannah Theater, and they made a big deal about it. You know, so it was really a small thing, but they celebrated it. And so I've always taken that not just in my work that I do in the community, but also my business, is that yes. let's celebrate our successes. You don't realize that you might feel like you got nothing done, but if you sit down and you actually write out what happened over the last 3 months, the last 6 months, the last 12 months, you would be amazed. You That's know, so right. it's just those small incremental successes and changes, I think, that really make a difference.
I do completely agree with you. It is the small things. Mm-hmm. And they say don't sweat the small things or whatever, but that you got to remember to celebrate and acknowledge mm-hmm. those small successes because yeah. they do add up mm-hmm. to the collective big, if yeah, you will.
They do.
And they do have much more of an impact mm-hmm. Than what you may even realize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I 100%. Now, with everything that's happening with the pandemic, there is definitely forecasting, mm-hmm. if you will, no matter who the president is, of the impact to the economy, the business cycle, everything that we're in. And if you do, if anybody has the ability, look up the Mueller report. Different Mueller, but so look it up and it'll like show you if you pull, I mean, it's going to pull Cleveland, Columbus versus mm-hmm. Youngstown.
Right.
Because it only does like the large metropolitan areas in our country and it'll give you an idea of where we are.
Yeah.
Like currently.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we are at the cusp of heading to the hyper supply. I won't get into the whole dynamics of everything, the economic on that. But I mean, the projection
yeah.
is not the best projection. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, I think that our area is a little bit more separated.
Yeah, I agree.
In its impact mm-hmm. With everything going on. Like 2008, the market crash probably mm-hmm. wasn't as dramatic here as it probably was in the DC yeah. area where I lived.
Right.
And it was absolutely insane. Houses dropped in price by $200,000. Mm-hmm. Or you would walk into one of your commercial buildings and you're checking out space and where you were looking at one point in time to find additional square footage for the tenant in the building.
Yeah.
You walked in and found half of it, if not less, mm-hmm. being occupied by employees because there were so many layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the businesses, and because it's going to, like, it would impact you on the insurance sure. end, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what? How do you project what's going to happen? You're like, talk about Debbie Downer.
Yeah. I mean, I think on a national scale, like, I think it's, I agree the outlook is grim, but we've done
temporarily.
This temporarily. I also think in Youngstown, we've done this before. I think in the same thing in 2008, we've been there. We've experienced this. We've done it, you know, so yep. I don't feel a lot of, I'm really not concerned about our community. You know, sometimes I do worry a little bit. I feel like today, especially after the debates last night, like,
that's like a whole other.
I feel a little doom and gloom spectrum in of general. Shit. I hate that. I did feel a little doom and gloom today. Like, what is happening? But I think this area, we've been there and we've done that, and we have this just a grit and a resilient spirit in our community that I feel is stronger than ever. And so I think in Youngstown, we're going to be okay.
I completely agree yeah. with you. I mean, mm-hmm. you have the Lordstown, you have the battery factory.
Many positive things happening.
Mm-hmm. There are. And I also look at it as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to all those out there that are looking to start their business
yeah.
and you might not think to yourself, a recession, is this the best time? But yeah. it might be the best time. I could tell you it's the best time to buy.
So I will tell you, we are in the insurance world are busier than ever. And there's a few reasons for that. One is the housing market, I think, is really active. And there's a lot happening in the housing market. Yeah. But also business startups. So yeah. people, I think, in COVID, whether they were laid off, whether they had a light bulb go off and were like, I'm not, you know, going to rely on this company anymore. But we are so busy with business insurance, startups, entrepreneurs. Every day I feel like people are calling me. They want to start something new. And so that's the pulse that I'm taking, is that I feel like people are energized. They want to make things happen in their lives. And that's the Unksung spirit. So,
and the stock market goes down, bye, bye, bye.
Right.
I wish we would have bought more than what we did. Yeah. But, I completely agree. Yeah. And I have had investor clients that are out of state that are, they're literally, they're right there waiting.
Yeah.
To spend their money. Mm-hmm. And so there is still the money out there and there's still business to be had. Mm-hmm. But it is going to be impactful, but take advantage of the impact and have it work in your favor. Mm-hmm. And I do think in our area with everything happening, like, I think that we are going to pull out and we're probably going to pull out a lot stronger.
I think so, too. I feel the same.
Which is pretty awesome. Now we are at our rapid fire time, the time that Ellie was dreading. So you have 1 second to answer all these questions. I'm kidding. All right. What's your favorite brewery beer?
Oh, that's the hardest question.
I know.
I feel like I have to say Penguin City because Asphage is my girl and think I have to say her. But I love so many of them. They're all amazing.
It's all right. It's okay.
You can Ira and Marcy at Little Creature are amazing. Adam Keck. Yeah, they're like all great. They're all we're fortunate to have so many great local breweries.
Oh, yeah. Because it is not easy to brew beer, number one. And it's definitely not easy to brew quality beer.
Yeah.
And we are very lucky that all our local brewers around here, their beer is exceptional.
Really good.
It's super good.
Right.
So it's a perfect place to travel to as well. If you're outside the area and want to check out Youngstown, check out some of the local breweries that we have. And what's your favorite place to eat, Ellie?
Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible, too. Gosh, there's so many like great locals. I'll tell you right now, I am on a homestead kick. So Homestead Kitchen and Cocktails. We have some great local restaurants. So
we do.
Yeah. And but
I gained 10 pounds moving back here.
So Homestead.
My belly could attest to it.
I'm a huge Acquapazzo fan.
Yes.
I threw two in there. Michael Alberini.
Listen, you can be on again.
D'Angelo's.
Okay. and mention
I got four in.
Okay. What about Village Pump? Come on.
I love Village, but I live in Poland, so Village Pump sometimes is a little out of my way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Vintage Estates. There you go. Okay. What is your favorite hidden gem about this area?
Was that a question about like a restaurant or just any hidden gem?
Any hidden gem. For instance, Nicole Ice, which last week's podcast, her hidden gem was actually a cemetery.
Oh, that's interesting.
In Columbiana.
Wow.
Yeah.
So mine would probably be G. Berbick Farms, Gray Berbick, who has been a longtime friend going back to my Meridian days. He owns a beef farm in Columbiana, not far from Canfield, and he sells grass-fed beef.
Nice.
Absolutely. That's where I get all my ground. That's where I get everything.
Do you have to actually, do you have to buy the cow or can you just
He has a freezer. No, you could just go and you can buy a pound of ground beef. And so he's only open mainly. So you can text him. But Saturdays he's open typically like 10 to 4 or something
this
like that.
This is like a Sarah Eggs, like little gem that you just threw out there.
That's a gem I hate to throw out because I feel like he's my favorite for like, I'll get a whole tenderloin for Christmas from him. I texted him over the weekend. I wanted some beef bones to make beef broth. And
super good for this time of year.
Yep. And so he's got a lot happening. And then he has started selling other meat from around other farms in the area. So you can buy some chicken. You can buy, I think, lamb, you know, that just local, you know, produced meat. But he's an amazing guy. Greg Berbick, awesome entrepreneur. He's a good guy.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is
he'd
pretty
be a
cool.
He'd be a great podcast guest.
That would be pretty sweet. That would be fun. And maybe you could bring some meat.
Yeah. He has a whole t-shirt line on meat about like how you can't beat it.
He does need to be on here. I'll supply the beer. Okay, and final rapid fire question. What are you bullish on about the future of the Valley?
Our kids, ooh. I would say. So I feel like all of us have grown up with like our friends moving away and we're in the shadow of the steel industry. Our kids, if you ask them, I don't even think that's on their radar. And so I think they're growing up with seeing and their parents and seeing some of the renaissance and the good things happening in this area. I think there is a light and a hopefulness with our kids that we didn't necessarily grow up with. I think we grew up with like, we're survivors. We need to like, you know,
100%.
And I think if you talk, you go and talk to my 11-year-old son or your kids, you're going to hear something different from them.
100%. Yeah. This is a completely different Youngstown than what we grew up
with. It is. Yeah.
It really has.
Just even YSU students, talk to some YSU kids. Like, their people are energized and excited to be here.
I am.
Me too.
That's part of the reason why I came back, which is awesome.
I'm glad you did.
Me too. Mm-hmm. And then we became close friends. And who knows what will happen with our relationship. I know. There may be a proposal by the end of the year.
Oh, that's funny. Right.
So to everyone out there listening, please, if you love this podcast, download it. It's found on all the most popular podcast hosting sites. You could also check out homesandhops.com or see me on Facebook, Homes and Hops. And don't forget about our sponsor, Platt Insurance. Yes. There too. You could go to plattinsurance.com. You can check them out on Facebook, Insta. So please, I mean, even on the Homes and Hops site, you can just click on Platt and find out more information that way. So
thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Now let's go out to Albarini's. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.